Blog Talk Radio.
This is Yasa Sagonige, a seventh great grandson of Sawanuka, keeper of the Holy Cherokee Ark, who during the American Revolution became first beloved man of the Cherokee, head man of the Upper, Middle, and Lower Cherokee. Please join us at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Sunday evenings and learn how you, regardless of ancestry, may gain the privilege of worshiping as you please, even using indigenous, plant-based, native sacraments. Aho. You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius.
I'm Austin Powers. They're like
Gas Mojo.
They're very sexy and very switched on, yeah.
But you gotta have Gas Mojo, baby, yeah!
What a gas, baby, yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi, folks, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do it, so you just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net engine booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter, it contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary media. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks, and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it.
Well, welcome, everyone. This is Bluewater coming to you on Prophecy Keepers Radio. This is the second show on Psychic Week for the 26th of June. And our guest tonight and today, and it'll begin, the show will begin Saturday morning, and you'll be able to listen to this on demand anytime in the future, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we interviewed Ted Solahan yesterday, and today our guest is another psychic seer, Gordon Zaza. And Gordon is a Cherokee descendant, and without any further ado, we'll just let Gordon tell you a little bit about himself and maybe about Grandfather Wallace Black Elk.
That'd be my pleasure.
Oh, welcome to the show.
I don't really tell people I'm a Cherokee descendant because my grandmother, my grandfather had it on my grandmother's side. His brother and I believe his father also married Cherokees. So I have a little business there.
You probably got more than me. We had ancient one drop of blood rule, and you know, out to the 11th generation is what was taught for a long time. And of course, politics has changed that as far as citizenship goes. But you know, as far as a religious thing, and you know, claiming you're a Cherokee descendant, I don't think anybody minds as long as you claim to be a citizen. Folks that are Cherokee citizens are pretty testy about their citizenship, and so well, that's okay.
I can understand that.
That's
and
all.
And also, I believe that as long as my spirit and my heart is in the right place, that's all that really matters.
That's right.
And because, you know, living in Colorado and next to Wallace Blackout, for a while. I lived there for about a year. And he taught me a lot of things. One of the things he taught me is that he was a very spiritual being. He sang his songs daily and into the night. And he all his songs, as most people know, were singing to Kunstler in the Great Spirit. And to me, he was a very spiritual human being. But he also had a lot of ability that he never talked about. And the only way you would know about it is you would have to spend time with him and be around him and be alert. Because if you weren't paying attention, it would go right over your head.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one time we were up in the mountains in Colorado. About 225 miles from Denver. And we went up that day to look for Bayfog, which is from an extinct volcano. And Bayfog, it works really well in the sweat lodges with the heat. It holds the heat, and not like sunstone that won't explode or anything. So he loved Bayfog, and he asked me if I would drive him up there and we could get something. And I said, yes. So Wallace, Dennis and I went up into the mountains and spent the day there. And when we arrived, you know, he drove all the way up there, and when we arrived, he placed his tobacco ties on the trees and all around the mountain, thanking the mountains, thanking the mountains. Thanking them for allowing us to be there. Thanking the wingers, the four-legged, the creepy, the collies, the thunder spirits, and everyone that, you know, he prays to. And it took about an hour. And then we started to pick up the baseball. But we didn't know. No recruiter picked up maybe one or two songs. And all of a sudden, I said, Wallace, look at that, coming down off the mountain with 7 or 8 mules. He said, don't pay them any attention. You're trespassing on their property. And we're just grateful for allowing them to be here. So don't look at that or pay them any attention. So we kept working. And all of a sudden, one of them was over spending my pocket. Sticking my hair, they were getting him away.
That was incredible.
He was kind of a neat experience. And this went on all afternoon. We just got the truck full, maybe about 4 o'clock. And out there, I don't know much about Colorado, but out there in the mountains, it can get dark at 4 o'clock. Especially when the shadow comes down over the mountain. And, We got in the truck, and I said, look at this. One stuck his head in the window.
Huh?
And he says, this drive, don't pay any attention. And I was looking at him while we were backing up, and all of a sudden, I backed, and
Florida. He was on a tour around, and we happened to be
guest on the same TV show. So when the show was over, I walked over and took a hand color and read all about the Doug Boyd's culture. I could hear him, and a few years ago I read it. It's always been on my mind. I always wanted to see him. I never thought he was going to come to me because I was living in Florida at the time. And so I said, here you are. And so we got talking. And then he said, look, I never asked anybody for a reading. But I had something on my mind, and I was wondering if you would mind giving me a reading. I said, no, I'd be so honored to give you a reading. And so I gave a reading, and we talked after this. And I never saw him again. He left the next day.
What year was that?
Well, I had to be around 1980, in the early 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been late 70s. Embarrassed about it. And so another lesson that I
found
that I
learned. It was an interesting
hole. Just for that one night, we're going under.
Yeah, it's an interesting hole.
And I said, so I was throwing it out. I pulled it out of her without even knowing. I pulled it out of her.
Isn't that funny?
I did not know that I was in there to do that. But I believe the only reason why I was in that sweat line was to pull that bad spirit out of that reason. And I believe that to this day. So, I never really ended up going back to Carlos. And he ended up going back to
No,
I think,
out west,
anyway.
Oh, dear.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
Realize that actually even having a vision, unless it's ground shaking the earth ground, experience with Wallace, Wallace Gunther was very pleasant. I've had a lot of people ask me to show them what I learned, and I told them, no, I can't do that. I'm not qualified. I'm not a native. And in fact, I did a seminar with Wallace, and the name of the seminar was titled East Meets West. What that was about was that I was going to, we did a speech or a lecture on Friday night to let people know what was going to happen Saturday and Sunday. And then we explained that at the end of the lecture, that the next day we had a seminar. And the whole day Saturday was devoted to way of threatening and Wallace would conduct that along the way they started. And then on Sunday I would do a seminar based upon my way, which is not the native way. It's my way, it's the way I was taught from my teacher. And I was actually taught at the beginning, which I think is a blessing. At the very beginning, I thought to be a spiritualist. And to me, spiritualism is a lot like the Native American way. Do you follow that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is quite a, now by, well, I don't know, the spiritualist church I've been to, these are Christian people that believe they can communicate with those of the past.
I mean, there's a lot of different spiritual churches, and they all have their own way, they all have their own way of doing things, but the true way, if you really study it, they all may not necessarily practice it. If you study it, then you study the Native American way, they're very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And they also look at it very similar, because they all revere the earth, they all revere animals and all life that lives on it, including us. And to me, it's the most beautiful way, it's the most spiritual way, the most honest way to live. If you can live the way that a traditional medicine man, medicine Indian, then you can live a very good life. Can become aware and become very rich, you know, because of it. I'm not speaking about it, but the things that enrich your life and your welfare and your helping others, you're doing a lot for everyone that you meet. To me, that is a beautiful thing. And to me, it is the only way. So I love my experience with Wallace and also Red Hawk, Tony Khan, who lives in California, and Rolling Thunder. You know, how I met Wallace Black Elk is I was living in Colorado and I was running a guest range and conference center.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a kind of a neat experience meeting him, because I was giving a lady who lived up on the hill a reading, and she was full-blooded Choctaw. And when I got done with the reading, we were talking about aura, molecules, atoms, spirits, and things like that. And then I walked her down to her car and the parking lot, seriously, great big tall Indian with another guy, which turned out to be Lance Graham, one of his disciples, one of his followers. And he had my coat. They were all sitting on the fence listening to him. And you know what Wallace was talking about? Molecules, atoms, orbits, things like that. And he was talking about him in relationship to birds and animals. And in check. And I thought, well, this man is very interesting. I just got a listener call to him. And he introduced himself and he told me that he was looking for some cotton wool because he wanted to do a Sundance. He heard that I was friendly to his people and that he'd come and cut some cotton wool.
Seminar, she got out of the boy, she just laughed at me. Fucking worst to ever live.
and whatever. But she did make a note. I don't mean that. She pointed that.
I'll be darned.
Because I healed her.
Yeah, she gave her.
Anyway, she
gave Wallace a tough time about it.
Yeah.
The work he was doing.
Yeah. She didn't hear a lot of people. She really cares. A lot of people didn't know how to take her. She was very toxic. I would tell him, look, you was raised on that reservation. You had went through what she did. And the rest of it went through. And most of it had to do with the business. It was placed on them.
Yeah, post-traumatic stress, you gotta get it out. California. And she, and ever since this reading, the two things that have stuck with me that I keep watching for, she told me that timber, like wood, would be very important. Now, she said timber would be very lucky for you. And she also said that someday that I would meet a black man, and that black man would help me somehow.
I'll see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
So I'm going to watch you for those two things. The counterfeit usually comes before the real thing, and I ran into the counterfeit black man, and I thought that there was going to, a fulfillment, but I'm still looking for that one. I haven't figured out timber, other than, not too long ago I was told that just before the end, you know, because I'm aware of purification day and things are going to happen, I was told that just before the end you'll go to a place that's up high where Douglas grows. So when I woke up from that, I was thinking, okay, well, I need to be in an area where Douglas fir is growing. And it grows all over, also, including here in the Ozarks. But yeah, I think that, you know, my first wife, she lived by the Spirit and taught me how to read spiritual clues, especially when you tell the Creator, well, you know, I want to do what you want me to do, and, you know, help me out. And a lot of times, it'll slam doors in your face, and especially if there's some way that you're real stubborn about going, and you have to be able to read the clues and kind of roll with the punches, because it's a much, much different life. It's more exciting in one way, and it's kind of a pain in the rear in another, because the Spirit will usually drag you from pillar to post, doing this and that, and this journey and that journey, and usually keep you pretty poor. But like you said, it's a very rich experience.
Well, it's been rich for me. It's changed my whole life. Did I tell you how I got into this?
I was just going to ask. You must be a psychic.
I've told the story many times, but it really explains how I got into it. Because when I was 28 years old, I was a trucker. I owned my own rig. Every instant field, tankers, and about anything. And my best friend got me into the truck. His name is Mickey Walter. He's always my greatest teacher. Because he had a rig, and he had a great blue rock park. If I was slow, I would ride with him to spin him over, or vice versa. So we kept each other afloat. So for 2-3 years he talked about psychics, he talked about the Inquirer, he talked about all those things. Today I saw totally settled the problem. In fact, in 1968, he told me that he was the Inquirer, so he was in there. constantly telling you something before it happens. It took me a long time, even after I became fresh myself, a long time living out there. Nothing happens before it's supposed to happen. It happens in the ego first, in the spirit world, and then it happens in the physical world. So you have to at least see something very clearly in your mind, believe it.
Wrong. Why didn't you do it? He said, well,
We called you. We called your house. You never was home. Never answered the phone. And I just blew it. I cracked him again. You damn fool. Why are you calling my house? She never was. I never brought her to you. I don't even know you. Her father brought you. You should have called her father. You know, he freaked out. I didn't know what to do. I said, now, you listen to me. Look in my eyes and listen to me. I don't have time for you to fall apart. And so I was shaking him. I said, you're going to wheel her in that room. And I hit him in the belly down. You're going to look there. That's where you're going to look. And that's where you're going to find me. And that's when you're going to save her life. Because I have to tell my colleagues, and I tell you, don't have luck. Hmm. I don't know why he didn't have me arrested, but 5 hours I sat there and waited for him when I came out. 5 hours later, and he said, look, he said, I have to be honest with you. He said, in the first place, I should have had you arrested. You're not supposed to touch the doctor. I said, but I was panicking. Can you see what was going on? I said, what's wrong with her? She said, she had a tubular pregnancy. First of the tube and peritonitis is to her body. He said, your wife's in a coma. That's why I thought maybe you was drinking, because I didn't think it was possible for her to open her eyes to grab your hand and say, thanks God you're here. She was in a coma when I left her. She was in a coma when I operated on her. He says, but when you looked in my eyes, I had a very bad experience. I believe that God was there looking at me through you. And if I didn't do what you said, it was going to be curtains for me. So that's why I didn't arrest you. And that's why I did exactly what you told me to do. And he said, that's what we found the two. The person. She's still in a coma, and I don't know how long she'll be, but I totally believe she's going to pull out of it. I know she's going to pull out. God sent me here. I didn't know what I was doing. I never believed in any of this stuff before tonight, but I do believe in it now. So, 2 years later, I met the poor man in Florida, and he gave him a tape on him, a French Canadian. Became my teacher for 2 years. And I had a lot of experience with him because I was already very psychic. I didn't know it. But as I started tapping, you know, I was just thinking out. He didn't understand anybody. That was thinking out before. One time I was looking at him in the class just started, the third class on that. And he told me, he said, do you have a message for me? And he just stand up. Never give a message sitting down. Stand up again for me. He was a very tough old guy. He was 76 years old at the time. And I said, if you stand next to you, do it. Name that.
Oh, see you.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Friends, this is Will Bluewater speaking on behalf of wisefoods.org. Our native ancestors stored away lots of food in case of emergencies. Thousands of years of sad experience taught them to be prepared. The traditional Hopi stored food enough to last for 7 years. So did the early Mormons. Nowadays, everyone unwisely depends on supermarkets for their food supply, and few people know that there is only a 3-day supply of food in the American food supply chain. Now, should some disaster befall us that would cause the big trucks like I used to drive to cease delivering our food, you'd be in big trouble. It is for these reasons that my family purchased a year's supply of 3 different breakfasts and 10 delicious dinner entrees from wisefoods.org. These foods are freeze-dried right at the field where they are picked and processed and are fresher and more nutritious than any supermarket food. You just add hot water, and they're good for 25 years being stored. A year supply from wisefoods.org fits in an area about 4.5 feet by 4 feet by 18 inches. I can literally get it all in the back seat area of my Honda Civic. If you stay at home, you won't need to go to a FEMA refugee center should some disaster happen.
Did you know that David Ramsey, David Gallagher, Laura Ingram, and Michael Medved have also invested in Wise Foods? Why don't you visit wisefoods.org today and see why?
Eddie Cachier. Oh my God. You died in 1945, baby. Yeah, well, Ben is here now. He said that all your life you used a double sided axe, but you only used one file. 2 years from now, September 16th, exactly 11 o'clock at night, you're going to turn that axe over and use the other side. From that day on, you'll truly know what power is. And I never realized what I was sensing. I had no idea until he died on that day. And the next day, his wife told me that. And I told him, three times, I had to teach me the exact time of the steps. I'm there for him. She said he was always hard on you because he knew you was in God's goodness. And you could scare him and make him come up. She said you scared me once too. How I do that? Well, I remember one time when he was sick, and I took over the class that night, and I told her to give me a message. She stood up and she told me that I was going on a cruise in December. She was, hey, in December I was going on a cruise. I was going to dance up a storm, meet a young 35-year-old man, and dye my hair red, and marry him. How did that happen? But it's really crazy mad. I can't remember. I saw you out that night. You just took me out of class. But he died in September, and you sent me to my cruise. And she took me back on a cruise. 35-year-old man. And she dyed her hair at 67. That's your younger person died in 78. And so, it happened to him. That's how I started out.
Came and arrested her. They went back and told her superiors that this woman
gas code, you know. I can go up.
What the heck are they arrested for?
I believe that she may have been spotted. How did she get a gas code?
Fort Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And
like the oldest Spanish town in North America.
It's the only town that flew under five flags.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know it. Anyway, we were at Fort Manning, and there's this fun little room that's like, you go in this room, and then there's a, it's really not a room, but it's like a ledge, we rock, and you can go in this little room and climb up on the spot. And we did, and when we were there, I got sick as a dog. And we, that was going to pass down, and Vicky helped us out of there. And then when I was out, we were fine. And we looked on the wall, and he said, Indians were kept prisoners there. Many of them were trapped in malaria. And that's impressive than what I was feeling. But I didn't really know it, because I wasn't really developed. But a year later, my brother came home from school. A book called Fighting Indians of the West. And he said, I went to the book home because this is it. I said, I don't want to get rid of it. So I went down, I opened it up, and there's a story down on it. This child who was so fierce that when they captured him the last time, they stripped him 1,000 miles by train to Fort Marion, Florida. He might have a little Cherokee blood through his mom. Because the Parkers, I believe they came into Virginia, and there's a ton of Powhatan Cherokee descendants that descend from the marriage between King Powhatan, real name of Wahoon Sinnecock, and... Well, King Powhatan, Powhatan... He married a Cherokee woman by the name of Amaputuski, and one of their daughters was Matoaka, also known as Pocahontas. And all the people in the royal house in England are descended from her because her descendants ended up, she went to England and had one grandson and it survived, and his descendants are all throughout Europe. And then there's, probably hundreds and hundreds of thousands of their descendants, and I'm one of them. And Wayne Newton's another. There's a lot of them. Yeah, Wayne Newton, I know who he was.
Yeah, we're cousins.
Yeah. He looks like he's native.
He looks more Maori to me. His eyes are kind of in his
head.
Yeah,
he's very good Maori anyway.
Mm-hmm. Eyes are kind of close together.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. That's interesting, yeah. Well, I know my wife, you know, she told me before she passed away, she was very psychic. And she became very translucent. And before the she got a cancer. She had lost her breast, and finally she died of liver cancer. But she made some predictions, and but she said that anytime anything you know would happen, she said, you know, she would show up, and the darndest she had, and I know I was out on the road. She showed up one night, I don't know, it was about a year and a half ago. I had no idea. She just shows up, you know, and I always know something's going to happen. Well, one night she showed up, and when I called home the next day, my son Joseph, who had been at Job Corps learning to be a carpenter, he collapsed, and they take him to a doctor in Poplar Bluff, and they wanted to do a certain test, and they said, well, you know, he's got a 50-50 chance of dying even from the test. And, you know, it was a problem with his heart. And so they asked me, well, you know, permission to do the test. And I thought about permit. I went, no, I don't think so, because Joanne showed up the night before. And so they released him the next day, and I guess he got better. And then we took him up to Washington University Hospital, the heart faculty up in St. Louis. And the doctor... listen to me. Oh yeah, he's got a condition, same condition that President Bush has, and he says it's not dangerous. He says it will keep him out of the military, and you know, and from what Ted said last night, that'll probably come in handy because his draft number I think is like 35. You know, well, I have a lottery, but he's got his draft card, so mine was 38. But yeah, Joanne shows up, and I guess you heard on the Ted show you listen to, you know, I get you know, the knocking on the wall, you know, which is there's all kinds of things happening, you know, and I smell tobacco smoke, and I didn't really know what a lot of this stuff means, and so, you know, that's why I bounce it off, you know, guys like you and Ted, you know, get some meaning, and but it really is fascinating because these things are so real, and a lot of people. You know, my dad thought it was all spooky. You know, and he had manifestations too. You know, he said that my mother's mother, he would hear her calling him, you know, Lance, you know, and I thought, okay, you're going to be the next one to die in the family. Sure enough, he was.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments. Hi, friends. This is Blue Water. Ayurvedic medicine is also called Ayurveda. It's a system of medicine that originated in India several thousand years ago. The term Ayurveda combines two Sanskrit words, Ayur, which means life, and Veda, which means science or knowledge. Ayurveda means the science of life. Ayurveda is a whole medical system which integrates and balances the body, mind, and spirit. Thus, it's considered holistic. This balance is necessary for contentment and good health. While pharmaceutical companies extract active ingredients from plants and sell them as drugs, the benefits of medicinal plants cannot be replicated because their synergistic combination of hundreds of naturally occurring phytochemicals cannot be reproduced in laboratories. This fact has been known to Ayurveda for thousands of years. The benefit comes from using the whole plant, not just the isolated ingredient. Because they contain whole herbs and fruits, Ayurvedic formulas are safer and more effective as opposed to Western formulations, which oftentimes have harmful side effects. We satisfy the health needs of our customers through safe, well-researched, and effective Ayurveda-based remedies using premier quality herbal extracts and sound manufacturing practices. We believe in Ayurveda so much, we're willing to offer you a 110% money-back guarantee. So be sure and visit india-herbs.us today and find out what this is all about.
And if he was, she probably met him. And my mom's still alive. Her dad passed away 2 years ago on December 7th. But, I mean, this current world is right here with us, I feel like. You just can't see it.
Yeah, actually, you can't see it. And I see people have seen spirits. And it's not that hard. You have to do it with your peripherals.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? Because your eyes are programmed to see three-dimensionally. And so, if I hold my hand in front of your eyes, you can see my hand. If I take it away and I say, look in that same location, you can't. Because there's nothing three-dimensional there to look at. But you can with your peripherals.
And that's what I'd heard. I've seen little shadow animals. I saw one not too long ago.
Yeah.
Right across the living room floor. And then we had a guest the next week. I think it was Dottie Daigle. We interviewed her a few weeks ago. And she said, have you ever seen little shadow animals? I said, yeah. I said, we had a litter of kittens here a couple months ago. One of them passed away. And he was so close to me. And he came out with this mysterious illness. He knew who we were. He was just, you know, he'd go into convulsions and he was just limp, but he knew who his mother was, and we put him, he was just out of it. He looked like he was just drool and didn't have any control over his muscles, and every once in a while he'd go into, it's kind of a convulsion. But he recognized her and he would make noise, and we just held him, and then his mama came over and licked him a little bit, and she looked at me. She turned around and looked at me and had her mouth open, and she sent me a mental message. She said, this little one's going to die. And, you know, in cat fashion, she just walked away from him. That's what they do. And I think he may have lasted an hour or so. But I think it's probably that little kitten we're seeing around, still around, because they get attached to you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, years ago, we had a skipper key. We've had two of them. And the first one, I used to travel for a living. I saw natural gas leaks. And skipper keys are a little black dog, like a fox, ears like a fox, and no tail. And this little skipper key, oddly enough, we called it a skipper. Skips love to run, and I was on the road full time. I found natural gas leaks for a living. You know, a day here, a week there, 9 months there, and we were in South Carolina and had to move out of the state park there. At least one day every 14 days. We moved over to this overnight to this big softball complex, and he got loose, and we had him on a little hook next to the door, and all of a sudden Joanne said, "You know, he's gone. I just know something bad's happened to him." So I hopped in the car and I went out. Sure enough, he was lying dead in the middle of the road. He had a little, it looked like somebody had taken a razor and just cut a little hair off his head. And I figured, well, he probably froze and got, you know, dazzled by the lights and just got hit by the bumper and it just killed him. So we took him and buried him, and that night he came to both of us, and he apologized. He says, I am so sorry. He said, I know, you know, you didn't want me to run, and he says, I was out in the middle of the road, and he showed me what he saw through his eyes, the oncoming headlights, and how he was hit in the head. And another thing I didn't know was he broke his leg also, and I wouldn't have known that, but certainly believable he'd get hit by a car. And you know, we felt him around for a long time, you know. But they do get attached to you, and well, I look forward to seeing him someday, I'm sure.
Yeah, one time I had a TV show in New Jersey, and I was asked to go to this place called the Spy House. You see, it's the oldest house in New Jersey.
Hmm.
That's why they call it a museum. And it was a spy house during the Revolutionary War. turned in the driveway, just before he turned in the driveway, a little girl ran out the street and I hit her. Right smack in my bumper. I jammed on the brakes. And I was shaking like a leaf. I was just holding the steering wheel on the tripper and I listened, what's wrong? I said, I just had a little girl sitting in the car. And he looked, he said, there's nobody in the car. You sure? And it's all not here. It was probably a spirit. So we went inside and I started to tell the woman that ran into the White House was saying, she said, oh, you hit her too. Everybody came down the street, one thing or another hit that little girl. I said, well, she keeps getting hit. She's even here. So real. So vivid. I said, well, I got to stop that. She said, what do you mean you have to stop? I said, I had to send that girl in the spirit world. She said, lost it because she was repeating herself. She said, no, she's dead. So, you can't let her keep going. I said, oh, no. She's good for that place. You know, she keeps people coming back here. Don't start to get rid of her. But anyway, I said, all right. Think about it. This is going to fly here. This gentleman here is going to show you around the house. And you can tell me what other spirits you see. So we went into the kitchen and I noticed some dirt coming up from a hole in the floor of the kitchen. There was dirt flying out of it. And I looked down the hole and I said, what are you doing down here? First thing, a guy climbs up the ladder, he looks at me. I said, what do you mean, what are we doing? We're digging. And I said, well, whatever you're digging for, you're not going to find this virgin soil. And the guy came out. He says, how do you know it's virgin soil? I said, I don't know. I don't even know what virgin soil is. I just said that. I'm sorry. And so he says, well, so and so, you should reference the rest of it. And he was on a date at their house. Because they were looking for a room that they had the prisoners kept for a Revolutionary War and tortured them. So I told him, I said, you're not going to find any room under this house. He says, well, we had proof that it was there. Yeah, this house wasn't here. This house was 200 feet that way, closer to yours. I came in one day, flooded everything, and they moved the house back. So if you're looking for a room, you gotta go up there and dig. Well, no, actually, they were digging for gold. Treasure. And a pirate left there. Treasure was looking for me. I told them, but there is a room. I showed them where the room was. Dig down there, you'll find this room. And they did. And they found this torture rack and down the chain where they would hang prisoners by their thumbs. So, and actually, that was the Americans, they wanted to put a British soldiers on it to get captured. Bring them in and have all the torture. He never did find the gold, and I never believed there was any there. But I told him that there was a pirate living upstairs in the attic. And she says, there is? I said, yeah. Pirate up there, his name is Morgan. And she says, she's got a book out full of Captain Morgan that right down the street, the name is Pirate. He sailed up down the Caribbean. He's one of the most famous of all pirates. I told her, well, he died in the south, right upstairs. And he's still here. And I described a girl hiding in the closet, a strange man. That she's had other sites there as well, for the same thing. I said, well, that's only proof that I need to help you get rid of them. And she had a sense. She didn't want me to get rid of them because that's why people kept coming back. She's like, so the ghost can't work it. Or the other spirits. I thought that was not good because I'm keeping them here and they need to go on. But anyway, she went back to the first. So, and doing check on trail a lot of old fools. They didn't know what they were.
Sorry, in Native way psychometry, you know, we know that the people's spirits or parts of them,
yeah,
or animal spirits.
Everything has aura.
Mm-hmm, vibration.
And the aura is the soul. So all objects have a soul too. And if you let a ring say, your soul is blended with the soul of that ring. So you can take the ring and send it to a psychic 3,000 miles from here. That psychic will describe you to a face very good. Or what's going on in your life, or even give you a reading with that ring. Same as having you right there. In fact, I worked with some crazy clubs to track people down using psychometry. I found a runaway girl once that committed suicide. She left a suicide note. She was 16. In New Jersey, my soul was the grandmother of Ashley Weiser.
That's almost as bad.
And she says, Philadelphia, what is she doing in Philadelphia? I said, well, you're going to be upset when I tell you, but I have to tell you the truth. She's going to come home next week. So she didn't really believe anything I was telling her. But I told her, I said, granddaughter's pregnant. She's with a sailor, and they're running back and forth from Pennsylvania to New Jersey, back and forth on the bridge every day. They have to do with something with the worm or something, but they're running out of money, and she's going to call her mother Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Mother better stay home that night. She's going to call her, tell her where she is. She wants her to come and get her. And I said that she would have to go between the gate with two guards on it. And that was the naval supply or something. Naval, some kind of naval base, I don't know.
After all these years, you built up enough clientele, and that's what you do. Do a reading, what's the procedure?
Well, Well, most of the readings I do now, I do by way of telephone. So if a person calls me up, I tell them I see you 75 hours, and I take the reading. And they ask, why do I take that? I said, because you won't remember anything on the telephone. And that tape is excellent. And you'll hear things you didn't hear when you have the reading. Because I may say something to you. And you're thinking about that, but I'm still talking. I go on to other subjects. And you're still thinking about that one thing that you didn't hear again. So it's very difficult to remember the reading without being right. I take all my readings. And I go back on to the teacher and stuff later. And people love them. I've never had to have a refund for them.
Be sure and stay tuned. We'll be returning in just a few moments.
Hi, this is Will Blueotter speaking on behalf of Native Remedies. As the systems of the body are interrelated, proper functioning and health occurs when they are in balance and harmony, so it's important to consider taking a holistic approach to caring for your body. Provided that they are manufactured in the correct way, natural medicines can work quickly and safely to create holistic balance in the body to support systemic health, relieve ailments, and help prevent future disease. Most natural remedies do not produce negative side effects, and unlike conventional medicine, natural remedies do not just mask symptoms, but they get to the root of the problem to support health and affect healing at the same time. Most homeopathics are even safely taken by people of all ages and during pregnancy. Homeopathic medicine is actually suppressed here in the United States. Outside of this country, a large majority of medicines that are prescribed are homeopathics. Did you know that the cure for malaria was developed by the man that invented the homeopathic system? That's right. So friends, please take my advice. Visit the front page of prophecykeepers.com and click on the Native Remedies banner and find out what all the excitement's all about.
And you know, you'd never know it to meet me. But I really am. I have a lot of power inside me. And, you know, when Ghost Wolf and I first met, there were a lot of sparks that flew. And, you know, a lot of people have accused him of wrongdoing. And, you know, that's the biggest problem he had the wrong girlfriend, you know, and because she's accused him of things. And, but anyway, but he told me at one point, he says, you know, he says, how I can really tell you're real, he says, because you're hurt inside.
You have something to share with the world, but also you're able to converse with other people because you know what they're going through because you're going through yourself.
Yeah.
Done that.
Yeah. That's why Ted was told by that council of elders in that other world that he had to go through a lot of suffering, so he had to learn, you know. And when he was taken through the wall of his house and had those elders sitting around him, and you know, Ted said on the interview that we did, it would be you can hear it at the same time you'll be able to hear yours starting tomorrow morning. But he said he wondered, he asked the Council of Elders, well, when will I get better? You know, will I be more healthy? And they said, oh, they just laughed. I said, oh, yeah, sure, you will. But you need to experience the hard things so you can relate to people. And this is a veil of tears, but it's also a veil of great joy because you know, we're here to learn you know, good and evil, so we can tell the difference.
Yeah, I was gonna just, yeah. I believe that everybody sometimes has something bad in their life. How can you know what good is?
That's right.
I think that's how we learn. Our mind learns from culture. So it measures each experience. And it measures against what it already done. So if you was born absolutely happy, you wouldn't want to live.
Mm-mm.
You wouldn't even know you're happy.
Mm-mm.
How could you relate it to anything?
So, oh, you'd be miserable.
So I think that we're really first born sad. First of all, to take the force to the spirit, and then to choose a family that has a lot of pain and brings you a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm, I did.
You have a lot of experience, and that's my feedback with that.
Yep.
Then when happiness comes along, who knows it better than you?
Mm-hmm.
Bad, sad.
I sure had both. I've had an equal measure, I think. I think I've had an equal measure in a balanced life, and you know, I still have emotional problems because there's never enough money in the house, and you know, and everybody's got the same problem, and you know, it's gonna get worse, and so I'm we purposely moved to the country to get out of the cities, and I know, you know, a lot of people are recommending, hey, time to get out of the cities, and what direction?
Huh?
What direction?
West.
West? Oh, I misunderstood you. What did you say?
There's an opportunity coming to you. It'll come sometime this year, probably either fall, maybe even early August. But you'll hear about it.
Uh-huh.
But this opportunity will cause you to move.
West?
Southwest.
Is that right?
It's the opposite way you want to go.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting because I've got a friend that that I introduced Randolph to, and he lives here in our community, and one of the biggest reasons why I came here. But he just accepted a job up in Saskatchewan, and when you said a new job, I thought, well, you know, and but there's this other thing when you said Southwest. I've got some friends down in South Texas, and that's definitely Southwest. And I kind of wondered in the back of my head if it might not have something to do with that, because they're trying to put a radio show together down there.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody's going to be putting some kind of a radio show together.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to ask you to come down and be a part of it.
Yeah, they have, if it's the one I'm thinking about, it's Chief Charles Kingfisher Rogers. He is the chief of the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. They've been fairly recently recognized. And he, CherokeeNationMexico.com. They also have a website, DoctorOfHope.com. And he wants to put a radio show together down there, and they have, I think they've already done some broadcasts. Greg Howard is his announcer. Greg, for a long time, was the voice of Armed Forces Radio, and he's a Powhatan Cherokee. So when Chief Rogers called a few weeks ago after we got off the phone, you know, he just asked me my advice, and I have been trying to get a hold of this guy for 2 years, but he called me. And, Ryan, you know, and he says, you know, your name's come up about 300 times this week. And he says, we're thinking about putting a show together. And ever since then, I kind of wondered, well, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if they asked me to come down there and help put that thing together. So, yeah.
They're also, they're going to,
they're
not risk, but they have funding.
Yeah.
They have some kind of bank.
Funds
offered,
isn't it?
To be able to give you some kind of salary. Something that you're not used to getting,
anyway. Yeah, at least not for a while. I mean, I've been trucking for a couple of years and lost my job in January.
You won't have to do that.
Yeah. Well, I'll go over Spirit Leads, and it'd be 118 double sticks out there or something.
Oh, yeah.
But they have a really neat cultural thing going on down there. About a quarter of the Cherokee Nation left the southeastern U.S. and went to the base of the Rocky Mountains. And this is the group that was in Zaragoza, Coahuila, Mexico. And Chief Rogers is the chief of that group of Cherokees. And they have a rich cultural Cherokee group down there, several hundred people. Basically the Cherokees in this country, for the most part, they're political Cherokees. They argue a lot about culture. And their favorite pastime is arguing, nitpicking, attacking each other. And this has been going on, for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's part of the Cthulhu prophecy that if we don't get it together, then our nation will be forced all the way to the West Coast onto a boat and well, the direction of west is the direction of death. If our nation doesn't survive, we're told that it'll impact the entire world. There's something special about the Cherokees. What it is, I don't know quite yet. But anyway, yeah, what you're saying is completely within the realm of possibility, Gordon. It really is, and I'd do it in a heartbeat. I've always considered, ever since 1981, when Joanne and I decided to take the journey, we were told, that we'd be taken care of, and we've always considered every home we've ever lived in just a camp.
Well, I'll tell you what, since you've been doing it, actually
in
this home.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's my recurring dream.
Yeah.
My recurring dream is being back in school, and it just bugs the heck out of me, and I know what it means. It's always high school, and it's usually some test that I cheated on, and it's so maddening, or I missed something, or some test, or I didn't graduate, and I wake up all those dreams and go, oh yeah, it's the same thing.
These people
that are
trying to think about maybe
eventually
going to casinos or something in your area?
The ones down in Mexico?
Yeah.
No, probably not very likely. Their main Charles Rogers' main focus is number one, they're not recognized in the United States. They're recognized by the Republic of Mexico.
Well, it's probably not the one that. Another group that has wanted to ask you to be a part of their network.
Could be.
They also are working
vigorously
on trying to get the state to
okay
a casino for their tribe.
Hmm.
Does that happen?
Yeah, they'd have to be a federally recognized tribe. Then you have to have a compact with the state that you live in, and for instance, in Oklahoma, you can't have any the class of gambling more than bingo. The state literally dictates.
I really have a feeling this could be like Arizona, some place out there.
Very possible. You never know. You never know. Well, we'll just roll.
You're going to meet one of them, probably Arizona, I guess.
Yeah, there's a there's a lot of Indian tribes that have stations, and they have a lot of things, and they're really not using their full potential.
Right. And, so don't want you to operate it, and all they really want out of it is that, also the feds for the community.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be fascinating.
Well,
you know, when I first started out as an executive with Boy Scouts back in '81, the number two man in the Great Salt Lake Council. When he first met me, he heard my voice and he goes, "Wow," he says, "you ought to be on radio." So he got this big booming voice, I do. I've always had this, my dad used to brick me about it because, you got a voice that rang like a bell. It gives me a headache, Yeah, it's pretty resonant. Well, I sang professionally for a living for a few years in between college, and I travel internationally for up with people. In 48 weeks we did 70 cities, what about 20 countries, about 150,000 miles, 300 public performances. So I got over any stage fright then. We did Carnegie Hall, we did Wolf Trap Farm. I think I know who it might be. I don't want to miss. I think I know, and actually, it's a person that I used to be pretty close to, and then after I left, Robert Ghostwolf became a good friend of his. And of course, when Ghostwolf started finding a lot of these red-headed mummies, I started thinking to myself, I know who he's been talking to, because this guy grew up when he was a kid down around Kanab, Utah, back when it was legal, and his family didn't feed him too well, so he and his brother would go, find beads and sell them, so he knew where all these grave sites were. So I really wasn't surprised when Gus Wolf and Daniel Brinkley went out and showed photographs of these huge, 12 and 16 foot tall mummies. And it could be him. It could be this person. Entirely possible. Entirely possible. Well, I'm getting pretty late there. I think it's almost midnight where you're at. Yeah, appreciate you. We're almost to the witching hour. It was a distinct pleasure on this end, Gordon. Matter of fact, one of your fans said, "Hey, I can't hear the live show." And I wrote her. I said, "I said, I'm really sorry for any misunderstanding." I said, "Actually, it's a show. We're taping it right now, and you'll be able to hear it tomorrow. About 11 o'clock Central Time, something like that."
I'll tell everybody.
Good deal. I'll be telling about 6,000 people tomorrow morning, too.
So I just tell them to go to prophecykeepers.com.
Prophecykeepers.com, and they'll see your picture on one side and Ted's on the other. They'll just be able to click on it. There's tutorials in there if they have problems listening and what they can do.
Okay.
I sure appreciate you.
It's a pleasure.
Okay. Good night, Gordon, and good night, world.
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases.
I'm Austin Powers. I like Gas Mojo. They're very sexy and very switched on, yeah.
But you gotta have Gas Mojo, baby, yeah!
What a gas, baby, yeah!
I'm going to go back to the 60s and steal Austin Powers' Gas Mojo.
Hi, folks, this is Will Blue Otter speaking on behalf of GasMojo.net Engine Booster. Immediate 25% fuel savings with GasMojo.net in just 5 minutes after installation. And your grandma can do it. So you just strap it on your fuel line, folks. Some customers report much greater savings. The GasMojo.net engine booster catalytically conditions any hydrocarbon fuel, be it gasoline, propane, diesel fuel. It's not a filter, it contains no metals, magnets, or toxic substances, and uses no electricity. The GasMojo.net engine booster unit is a specially designed tube containing a completely safe proprietary media. It's a passive fuel treatment process designed to disperse hydrocarbons for better performance and mileage, and also to break down carbon and other contaminants. Unlock your fuel's hidden energy potential now with GasMojo.net. And folks, you get a 100% money-back guarantee on this. I've got one on my car. It was developed by an old friend of mine, and he's an honorable person. You got to try it, folks, and go open a bank account now for all the money you're going to save. GasMojo.net, GasMojo.net. Just do it.
Let the truth be known. this way.